In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome, it's the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live. We are dangerously close to Bears country as we are in Kenosha, Wisconsin tonight. For those of you listening all throughout the network, we certainly appreciate it. We are live. We are here at Rivals this evening. I want to say thanks to Mike and his staff and Abby and everybody running around taking such great care of us. We got here a little early tonight, and what a good time, what a good place so far. And the food is fantastic. So if you're in the area and you're out and about, come on by down here in Kenosha, find Rivals. And say hello. We would love to kind of put a face to a shake and a hand and a name and all that kind of stuff. So Mike Clemens alongside Radio Joe Zanzola, normally producing the show here tonight as well. Jeff Orlowski back in the studio pushing all the right buttons as the Packers get ready to take on the Chicago Bears this weekend down at Soldier Field. Mike, I'll start with you. They get a win this past week. It wasn't a great win, but it was a good win. They played a full four quarters of football. So give me what the atmosphere, the mood is like right now in Green Bay.
There was a strong whiff today from the locker room that, hey, you know, we could probably just go ahead and move forward with Joe Philbin. I mean, you wouldn't have to spend all that money on bringing in 20 new coaches and moving their families. And, you know, we got a good little thing going here. I mean, Philbin, he knows this organization. Gosh, he's been here for almost 10, 15 years, working his way up the ranks, an assistant offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, a little head coaching experience. I mean, how about Joe Philbin? And some of it's from some of the players, some of it's from some of the coaches who want to hang on to their jobs.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to take anything away from Philbin. I also think that there's a little bit of a honeymoon going on, because you talk about the word stale, that, you know, the Packers carefully picked that word. Mark Murphy and his staff carefully picked that word. How do we define getting rid of a coach with a winning record like Mike McCarthy? And they kind of put that out there in one little interview, and it sort of got picked up and repeated. And now you see everybody repeating it, you know. Mike McCarthy, stale. And that's smart. And I think it's probably a fairly accurate description as to what happened in the situation. But I'm sorry, I know that Mark Murphy has taken a look at this thing from 50,000 feet, and he's saying this place has Curly Lambeau, Vince Lombardi, Mike Holmgren, Mike McCarthy, you know, and Mike Sherman had a degree of success and represented the team proud for 4 or 5 years. I got to get the next great head coach in here. I got to get this right. And I don't think it's Joe. You know, if you need a new head coach, well, first of all, it's got to be a game manager. And you don't have to be an offensive guru, as Winston Moss would call them, or a defensive head coach. You don't have to be the play caller. But you got to manage the game, man. And the game is as complex as it can be. Ask Joe Philbin, you know, 5 minutes into his tenure with the two back-to-back challenge flags. You got to have that system down. You got to be this tremendous administrator, which probably bogged down Mike McCarthy at the end. You know, the former Brewers general manager, Doug Melvin, he talked about in his run as the general manager of the Brewers, he said, you know, when I came into the team, I had like 75, 80 employees. We've got like 140 employees worldwide now scouting. I mean, after a while, it becomes overwhelming kind of trying to keep track of all these guys. Now, David Stearns has just been phenomenal as how he, you know, has made of all his picks and made his moves and running that organization as a young man, right?
A young man.
As a young man. So that's the next thing, is that these jobs, man, you got to be a good administrator and go through the GPS stats and all that other stuff. You can't throw that out. You can't deny it. It's now part of it. And the bottom line is you have to be a motivator. You have to get into people's heads. When you walk in the building, everyone stands on edge. And they were still doing that for McCarthy, but there just wasn't the focus there. And Joe Philbin is not the guy that puts the fear of God into people. Smart guy, good listener, works well with the players, firm. He can deliver his own kind of motivational speech. When they won the game against the Falcons the other night, there was a brief moment in there where he was thanking the players. He was a little emotional. It's been a hell of a week for everybody, right? And then Aaron Rodgers, of all people, who Aaron's not much of a speaker, he takes the game ball and says, hey, and as the players, Joe, we appreciate what you did this week. You get the game ball. So that's where they start this relationship. Now we'll see if they can make a three-game run out of this. They have a huge task ahead of them this coming week. But, Bill, I just got to think that these guys have got somebody in mind that they think is going to be the next great NFL head coach in the National Football League.
Well, the indicator, Joe, was, if you read Andrew Brandt's column, was that he thought they were getting a jump on a college coach, that right. Maybe there's somebody in the pipeline for that. And, look, the track record is he said, and I've said before, is college coaches coming into the NFL don't do well. And if they do, it takes them a lot of time. And you don't have time with the Green Bay Packers. That's not what Packers fandemonium is all about. It is about here and now. And even when John Kuhn said, hey, I think they're on a two-year rebuild and probably targeting 2020, you're not targeting 2020 with a coach that is a college coach. I mean, all the phenoms offensively that came out of the college ranks have failed.
Well, and what's the biggest difference?
And the ones that have been successful already had head coaching experience in the NFL.
Right. Well, and what's the other big difference here between the college and the pro ranks when we're talking about offenses? You know, if they're looking for an offensive-minded guy, a lot of these guys in college are running spread offenses. And we know that spread offenses don't do all that well in the NFL. You know, it may work for a year, and then these defenses are able to figure you out, and then it's over. That's it. So I'd like to think that Mark Murphy has a list in mind before he fired Mike McCarthy. You know he's looking at that list. You don't just can a coach without having some kind of backup plan or some idea as to who the next successor will be. Every guy keeps a list. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks were kind of the same thing last year. You know, they didn't want to admit to the fact that, you know, they wanted Joe Prunty as the interim guy and he's our coach. But if you're going to fire Jason Kidd, you got to make sure you have a list. So no matter what happens here, Mark Murphy has to have some kind of idea, Mike, that there's a couple of guys that he'd like to at least interview. There's got to be at least a couple of guys sitting there that are like, these guys could be fits. But the question is, are you bringing in an offensive mind to run this team? Or do you clean everyone out, including Mike Pettine, and you bring in a defensive-minded head coach, and you let Aaron Rodgers kind of figure it out with the offense? That's the big question.
2005, Ted Thompson interviews 8 different guys. Well, at least that's what his list was. He never got to Brad Childress. When Mike Holmgren left Green Bay and Ray Rhodes took over, there were still some guys that stayed over. And then when Ray Rhodes got fired after 1 year, then they kind of cleaned house, okay? But Mike Sherman comes in, and Mike in 2004, he loses to the Vikings in a wild card game, the one where Randy Moss moons the south end zone.
Classic.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, they went up 17-0 against Brett Favre and the Packers with Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss. And so Mike fired his defensive coordinator, Bob Slowick, and he hired a really good guy named Jim Bates. And when Mike got fired the following season, going 4-12, because Ted, you know, stripped away 7 or 8 guys, and starting with Ryan Longwell, Then people were wondering, hey, well, Jim Bates, he actually did some pretty good things for the defense. But Bates said, if I'm the head coach, I'll stay. But I'm not hanging around to be a defensive coordinator for the next guy. I'm too old for that.
Right.
Now we get to this situation with Mike Pettine, who just got here and who makes the point that, you know, it's year one, man. I just got into this thing. Not only my players, my coaches, you know, just getting my staff on. And year two will be better. And by year three, you're where Vic Fangio is right now. Hello, down with the Chicago Bears. And he's also been, you know, getting a roster that improves every year, too. And then you put Khalil Mack in there, and it tips the scales. So my point is, I'm looking at this staff and saying, if they hire a 40-year-old guy who's going to be a first-time NFL coach, and it's got all this energy and bright ideas, if you're Mark Murphy, are you going to sit and listen to this guy and say, yeah, and I'm bringing 15 guys? I actually wonder if there's a point where the Packers say, yeah, you can bring about 8 or 9, bring your coordinators and stuff like that, but we're not going to spend – we think we're pretty close and there's some pretty coaches. Work with some of these guys, okay? we're not going to move 20 people in here. Right. I mean, this does – it is a business. Honest to God, right. Trust me, there is a business involved in this. So I think it'll be curious because there's been a lot of carryover through two or three coaches the last 17 years. If Murphy says he thinks he's hired the next Sean McVay, who's cleaning – and this isn't a Jeff Fisher situation, all right?
No.
You know, with the knuckleheads that you could see behind the scenes on Hard Knocks.
Right. 7-9 BS.
Yeah. Yeah. but it would be interesting to see if Murphy says, here's my new guy. He's 40 years old. We welcome, you know, the so-and-so era. And they clean house on all these dudes. And you talk about, I mean, no one comes in and wins a Super Bowl. I don't care which quarterback you got. It always takes a year or two.
Yeah.
You know, even when Peyton Manning moves to a place like the Broncos and those kinds of things, if I remember correctly, you know, when John Gruden went to and took over for the Buccaneers and got them in the Super Bowl, right? I think that took a couple of years. When Tony Dungy got fired from the Buccaneers, goes to Indianapolis with Peyton Manning, I think it took him a couple of years before he got him there. So no one's coming in here and taking them to the Super Bowl the first year. That goes against the odds.
This is what makes Packers fans so mad is that the Packers have never lived down 2014. They've never gotten over that. You know, that was their shot, and they blew it.
And that a lot of them put on the shoulders of poor game management,
poor game
Mike
management,
McCarthy.
Well, he took his foot off the gas in the third quarter.
That too.
That's clear. But you can look at a number of different things. Joe and I were talking about this today. You can talk about Micah Hyde not being in the proper position on the two-point conversion. You can talk about, obviously, Bostic and the special teams. You can talk about, Julius Peppers telling Morgan Burnett to go down. Otherwise, he's got a clear run to the house, you know, I mean, and the game's over. So that doesn't all fall on the shoulders of Mike McCarthy, not knowing that Clay Matthews pulled himself out of the game late in the ballgame.
Yep.
But just that stench of that game at that time, they've never been able to overcome.
No,
that.
They haven't.
And at that point in time, if you were going to make a move, you should have made it then. Because at that point, you could have said, okay, we still have a large window for Aaron Rodgers. We know the team is good. We can tweak a couple of things and go from there. I think what they wanted to do was say, Mike, we give you this. It wasn't all your fault because of some of the things that I had mentioned, so we'll let you go. And then gradually, 14, 15, and 16, that team eroded from Ted. Ted didn't draft the right guys. Mike wasn't getting what he wanted, and everything began to fall apart. So they stayed with Mike a little too long. They stayed with Ted, obviously, too long. And this is where we are today. Now you've got a window of, what, 3, 5, 6 years? And now you're talking about 2 more years, we'll be there.
You know something,
That's why Packers fans are so pissed
off.
I
honestly believe these guys, these personnel guys, like Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy and any of these guys, it's like there's no window. We're not playing for Aaron Rodgers, or we're not trying to get a Super Bowl for Donald Driver years ago and all that, man. We're trying to keep our jobs. We got to win a game this week. I mean, really, you know, we're trying to keep our jobs. So it's nice that we've got Aaron Rodgers right here, but we don't think that way because Patrick Mahomes could change your mind in a New York minute if he's on the board for you. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep your mind that way when you're making these decisions. I think what's going to be most interesting is this. Is I think most of the Packer fans around mid-October thought, well, yeah, he might be in trouble, but, you know, you guys might be pushing it too hard that he's on the hot seat. But the point I was trying to make in October, and I didn't have any necessarily I had a feel that there was trouble, okay? But when they had that horrible game in Detroit, and McCarthy couldn't seem to stop the leaking in that one.
Right.
And when they almost got beat by the 49ers. You know, I went from my reports of saying McCarthy might be in trouble to saying he's on the hot seat. And part of the reason was, I mean, when you got to the end of camp and you sit down and you say, my God, now Aaron's here for the next 6 years and the GM is here for 5 years and McCarthy's only here till next year. That's what they did to Mike Sherman back in 2005. Mm-hmm. They gave him a $6 million lottery ticket in the middle of training camp. Hey, you're here through next year. Here's $6 million. And then they went and stunk it up. 4-12. They had all rash of injuries at running back. They didn't have an offensive line. They were throwing kids in there. It was a mess. Brett Favre threw 27 interceptions. It was a mess. And he was practically set up. And on top of that, Sherman wasn't getting along with Ted Thompson. And that's why he got fired, because he wasn't adapting the fact that you're not the GM. You're just the head coach. And that's what I remember that season vividly. And the shift that was in the wind. And I think you talked about Andrew Brandt. I think he used the word best, too, in terms of frayed relationship. And that frayed relationship goes back to that NFC Championship you're talking about. 3 years ago, we were out in Denver, and the Packers got their ass kicked by Peyton Manning and the Broncos, okay?
Yep.
And they couldn't do anything. And Mike McCarthy said at the podium after that night, I haven't had an ass kicking like that in a long time.
Right, right.
Then about a month later, we were talking to him about how he'd recovered and they were moving on and those kinds of things. And he said, yeah, listen, he says, I'm always on edge about this job. I'm always on edge about this job. He goes, you know, after that Broncos game, the next morning, I pulled into the gate at 5:30 with my Starbucks to start my day and look over the tape, and my key card didn't work. And I thought, holy shikes, they've cut me. They fired me after that game last night. He thought he'd been fired.
Yep.
That's the way he felt every day. This could be taken from me at any minute.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We're broadcasting live. We are at Rivals here in Kenosha. Stop on by and say hi. Radio Gianzola is here. Mike Clemens, the voice that you just heard, is here. I'm here. Come on by and say hello to us as we get ready for the Bears and the Packers this coming weekend at Soldier Field. We've got more coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I would say principal objective that they're doing well is to prevent the offense from scoring points. You know, I would say that would be number one, and they're doing that pretty well.
There you go. Those are the words of Joe Philbin as the Packers get ready to take on the Chicago Bears down at Soldier Field this weekend. I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live here at Rivals tonight. We are also brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the network. Joe Zanzola alongside Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio here tonight as well.
That's the famous Philbin dry sense of humor there, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, someone says, what is it about the Bears? I mean, is it motivation? Is it Vic Fangio's, you know, schemes and defenses? No, they're scoring more points than their opponents. Yeah, that's why they're winning right now. Oh, okay.
Reminds me in Seinfeld, hey, it's Philbin from across the hall.
Yeah. That's exactly right. When you look at the Bears getting ready for this thing, Mike, they're a drastically different team than what we witnessed the first week of the season. They're a team that's getting it done mainly via defense, which is what they did against Aaron Rodgers. But they've adapted so much. What Goff tried to do against them and the Rams was a lot of what Aaron Rodgers did, and that was quick outs, quick short passes. And basically what they did was they put everybody at the line of scrimmage. They're going to punch you in the face. They're going to send pressure. And a guy like Goff, who doesn't have the experience of Aaron Rodgers, panicked a few times, started throwing picks all over the field, threw four, as a matter of fact, that night. Aaron Rodgers is not that crazy to start throwing picks, but we did see Atlanta give a couple away. Atlanta had a couple of opportunities, and they dropped him, went by the wayside. Kyle Fuller had one in that first game. That ended up falling to the ground before it was all said and done. So I look at this and I think, well, Aaron Rodgers has more savvy than Goff, but also the Packers aren't playing at the same level the Rams were coming into this ballgame.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, Matt Nagy, that performance the other night against the Rams, it's one of the best Bears victories I've seen in a long time. I was in the back of the end zone when Gary Ellerson was on that 85 Packers team, and you got Lynn Dickey and James Lofton and those guys, and then here comes this Bears team, man, with this dominating defense, and they've been getting better every year, and Buddy Ryan is 4-6, and Dan Hampton, who just looked, was down on the sidelines for the game. He just looked huge, And then, you know, we knew about the fridge, but he's a nose guard. He's in there in the mess all the time. And the Bears drive down, and McMahon gets down to about, I don't know, 2 or 3 yard line. And then out comes the fridge. And they put him in the backfield, and they hand it off to him, and he gets a touchdown. We're in the back of the end zone. We're like, oh, my God. Ditka is not only just scored, and what a brilliant thing. It's going to take 4 guys to bring this dude down, and they didn't have the personnel to handle something like that. But on top of that, he's mocking you, Force Greg. He's laughing at you as they go on their way to the Super Bowl shuffle and winning the Super Bowl. But the other night, Nagy comes up with that sleigh ride thing. And I just brilliant. 4 defensive linemen and a backup tackle. He fakes the handoff to Akeem Hicks because he's done that before. And he blobs the little ball over there to 79 for a touchdown. They've had 16 different players score touchdowns in the Bears this year. 16 different players.
Yeah.
They're And he comes up with a play that's got, like, Virginia McCaskey, 96 years old, the daughter of Halas up there, you know, warming her heart. You know, like, she's got to be pointing to the sky and say, Papa, that's for you.
You know, she's pointing to the sky saying, I'm on my way.
His first trick play of the year. His first trick play of the year. His first trick play of the year was he goes T formation. He calls it Papa Bear left. You know, I mean, Nagy's come in, and the first thing he's doing is making sure the family's happy and proud again and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, because, you know, the word was that Virginia McCaskey, man, the daughter of George Halas, one of the founders of the National Football League, she told everybody, you know, if you don't put a winner on here, you're all gone. So I think her loser sons all feel like maybe they got a chance of still being in the will, you know, before she passes on. Now that they got a winner on the field.
Well, Joe, what they did was is they took the personnel they had last year, they tweaked it. They obviously gave a shot of adrenaline into the arm to that locker room by saying, here comes a sack master. You finally have legitimacy over on that side of the ball for the first time in a long time. They had already built it up with Trevathan. They've got other players that are solid. They just needed a guy to bring it all together. They found that guy. And then Mitch Trubisky, we knew he was good from what we saw last year against the Packers, Mike, when we were down there. Because we could see him, once they took the reins off of him a little bit and John Fox got out of his way, he could actually be a quarterback. And Matt Nagy's just exploited him to the point where he's a legitimate quarterback. The only concern is Michelle Tafoya is the only one to report it, was that he had a separated shoulder. That's the reason he was out. So we'll find out how bad that is.
Right. And with Trubisky, too, you know, he's still a work in progress. He's still developing as a quarterback, and he's had some great moments this year where he had the 6 touchdowns against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where you're sitting there going, whoa, is this going to be his breakout game? Is this really who Trubisky is? Can he really be, you know, one of these elite quarterbacks? Is this his jumping off point? And there's been some growing pains after that, and he's had games where he's going to throw picks. And this is going to be a big deal going with the Packers, a defense that doesn't force many turnovers. Can Trubisky play very well against this Packers secondary? We saw last week with the Packers and Falcons, your Bashaud Breeland finally had his breakout game at that pick 6. The key in this game is going to be Trubisky and whether or not he can avoid those mistakes. If he starts throwing picks like we've seen in past games here, it's going to go a long way for the Packers. They need to find ways to force turnovers. Now, I want to go back to something else here, Bill. You know, you were talking about all these additions with the Bears and Khalil Mack. I was listening to Chicago radio this morning. They were talking about Khalil Mack and Kyle Fuller. And what if the situation was, remember when the Packers tried to get Kyle Fuller? It was not the franchise tag, but the
restricted free agent contract.
Right. It was restricted free agent.
And we thought at the time, well, all they did was drive up the price, and kudos to the Packers for doing that and everything, yeah.
Right, exactly. So instead, the Bears signed Fuller 4 years, $52 million. And now in hindsight, you're looking at what Kyle Fuller is doing for the Bears. He's every penny's worth. I mean, he really is.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has 7 picks on the season, and I'm hearing some guys in Chicago say that not only is this guy going to be a Pro Bowler, he might be first-team All-Pro. He's been that good.
Yeah.
So you kind of wonder if the Bears didn't decide to match it, where the Packers would be with Kyle Fuller, and could they even get a Khalil Mack? I don't even know if that would even be possible.
Yeah, here's the other thing to think about going into this game when you talk about their depth and their secondary and the way they're playing right now and Khalil Mack and such on the outside is the fact that this team coming into this game, I was just going over the Packers injury report, and the Packers have about 7, 8, and maybe 9 guys on it. Allen Robinson, the wide receiver, is the only one on the injury report for the Bears. I've always said you got to be good, you got to get hot, you got to be healthy, and you got to be lucky. Well, they seems to have everything going for them right now, Mike.
Talking about hot, there was one time where the Bears were playing in Miami this year, and they ended up losing a game in overtime.
Right.
Part of it is because it was hot down there. Did you?
Yeah.
It was great. It was overtime. You know what made the difference that day? Miami's got a guy named Albert Wilson, 5'9", number 15, speedster. And you got Brock Osweiler playing quarterback, all right? But he found him a couple times in some slants and took him right down the middle between the safeties. Now, I don't know if Green Bay's got a speedster like that, but, that's something that Philbin and the Packers are looking at as to where there was an open door and where they could perhaps beat that Bears defense no matter who's back there. And it gashed him. That was 14 points. That swung the difference, and they lost to the Dolphins on the road in that one. That's one opportunity that I know that, you know, the Packers are going to be looking at in the four games the Bears have lost, what did they? And they almost lost to the Cardinals early in the season too.
Yeah.
But you know, that's just as Nagy was kind of getting this thing to settle down, and they're trying to figure out how to use Mac in the best position.
Right, and the other thing too in that game against Miami. As I recall, the Bears had a couple of situations where they were in the red zone, and they turned the ball over.
And they turned it over, yeah.
I was sitting there watching. I'm like, this game should be in the bag for the Bears. They have no business losing this game.
And I think they missed a field goal or two as well, too. So.
Yeah.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live. We're at Rivals here in Kenosha, close to Bears country. We welcome Bears fans, Packers fans, getting ready for this game this coming weekend down at Soldier Field. It should be a good one. Don't forget, the Green and Gold postgame show going to emanate live from the Shy Bar inside the Sheraton Grand Hotel near the Magnificent Mile. Come on by, get a room if you're heading down, or just come on by and enjoy the show immediately following Green Bay and Chicago. We'll be there. Gary Ellison will be alongside as well. We hope to see you there as a face in the crowd. We are brought to you tonight, as always, by our friends at Bud Light. Speaking of that, tonight, $15 buckets here at Rivals for Bud Light. So if you're coming in, you want to wet the whistle, $15 buckets for Bud Light here tonight as well. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Huddle right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
And you never say never, Chris, right? I suppose it's possible, you know, but we'll see.
Those are the words of Joe Philbin. Welcome back to the program. It's Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by Bud Light. We are broadcasting live. We're at Rivals here in Kenosha. Radio Joe Zanzola alongside. Mike Clemens is here as well. Getting you ready for the Packers, the Bears, coming up this weekend down at Soldier Field. A reminder, immediately following the game, we're going to be at the Sheraton Grand Hotel inside the Shy Bar. Come on by and say hi. It doesn't matter if you're a Packers or a Bears fan. Just come on by. We're going to have the Green and Gold postgame show going to be emanating live from there. The night before, we're excited to go down and see our buddy Ryan Shea and everybody at the House of Blues. Ryan Shea's band's playing, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Blue Olives.
Does he play saxophone?
He plays saxophone.
Oh, great.
He's a mean saxophone. So they're playing on Saturday night. We're going over there and
taking
some contest winners over for dinner and hanging out a little while. So always going to be good. So this game upcoming, this is like I'm not going to – some fans say this is the Bears' Super Bowl, and I don't equate it to that. But, Joe, how big of a game is this for the Chicago Bears? Not because you know already they're going to the postseason, and more than likely they're going to win the division. But how big a game is this, we'll say, rivalry-wise?
I think it's a pretty big deal in the rivalry. In fact, the rivalry is back to its highest peak in a long time. I'd like to think maybe since the NFC Championship game of a few years ago, back to 2010, when the Packers got to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the biggest Packer-Bear game that I can remember. And since then, you know, there's been moments here and there where these games have been good, but at the end of the day, the Packers always seem to get the last laugh against the Bears, especially at Soldier Field. You know this 8-0 mark with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers going down to Chicago, taking care of business. Aaron Rodgers always with, you know, the theatrics on the field. You know, the big pass play to Randall Cobb that one year, that was a big deal. But now the Chicago Bears, you know, I think for some Bear fans that were skeptical going into the season thinking, how good is this team really going to be even with Khalil Mack? And with Matt Nagy, this team is legitimate. I'm really bought into what the Bears have done, what they've been able to produce, what they've been able to put together. And I do believe this is a team that can be a major threat in the playoffs. I mean, you just saw what they did to the Rams. You just saw what that defense did to Jared Goff and the Rams. They destroyed them. So, you know, I go into this week, and everyone is telling me, well, you know, the Packers, they're good at Soldier Field, Joe. You know, have a little hope, have a little faith. You know, it'd be so typical of the Bears to screw it up. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's great. But let's keep in mind what happened week one when these two teams faced. The Bears were pissed off after that game. They blew a 20-point lead to Aaron Rodgers on one knee. He was only playing with one knee, and he beat the Chicago Bears after they owned him in the first
half.
Good
point.
Okay?
Good point.
So now here we come back. They lose to the Giants in overtime. They played a hell of a game against the Giants. They lose. So then they play the Rams. They make a big statement against the Rams. If this was the first time they were playing the Green Bay Packers this season, you could see the Bears slipping up because they're so cocky. They're coming off the Ram win. Oh, yeah, we'll take care of the Packers. They're playing like crap. But because of that game week one, the Bears really have something to play for now, and it's on their minds. They want payback. Trust me, I'm going into this game thinking this is not going to be easy for the Packers, and let's just all not sit here and think that there's going to be some magical upset either. The Bears want revenge.
Well, for me, I'm talking to a buddy of mine in Chicago, Bill Lindy. He's talking about, you know, the White Sox. Been years now since they finally won their World Series. That's great. They stink. They're rebuilding. Chicago Bulls, they've lost 8 of the last 9
they're
games.
Horrible.
They're horrible.
Horrible.
They've filed a grievance against the new head coach 1 week into his tenure there. The Blackhawks have just snapped an 8-game losing streak after winning a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago.
Fired Joel Quenneville, you know.
And so the sense I got in general right now from media and fans is for the 2018 Bears, Cinderella. They're just concerned that, you know, the pumpkin's going to – the carriage is going to turn back into a pumpkin at midnight. And
it would be so
kind of
Bears
thing.
Of them to do.
If yeah, yeah, you're yeah, right. You know, right. I mean, they still got that little saying in their heads, the Bears still suck. So on,
yeah, but do you think,
on Sunday at Soldier Field, if the Chicago Bears beat Aaron Rodgers and these Green Bay Packers, even with an interim head coach, they would have loved to have McCarthy there. They're legit. And, oh, by the way, they clinched the NFC North.
Right.
But I think if Aaron Rodgers pulls out another Aaron Rodgers and goes, what, 9-0 against these guys, it's going to feel like 2 losses to Chicago Bears fans.
1 hour down, 1 hour yet to go. We'll start taking a look around the rest of the NFL coming up here shortly. Hang in there for that. We'll give you our picks not only for this weekend's game when it comes to the Packers and the Bears, but you have one tonight. You got 2 on Saturday. Saturday NFL football is back as well. We'll talk about that. We'll make the picks, and we'll continue to break down this contest between these two teams. The oldest rivalry. The oldest rivalry, the 198th game that will take place between the Packers and the Bears. The Packers hold an edge 97-94-6 in the series, which includes a couple of playoff games as well. They are 1-1 overall in those ball games, and one of the biggest ones we all obviously know was the NFC Championship game that took place down there behind the great cruise ship that is parked behind the Parthenon that is known as Soldier Field.
The giant bedpan.
Yes. The old adage coming from Delta pilots is when you get to the bedpan, you make a left. And that's how you find the airport. Got 1 hour down, 1 hour yet to go. Hang in there. We got more of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light right after this.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.